Let it bang. Let it bang.
God, we just want to thank you, Lord, this morning, Father. Lord, we thank you, Father God, for this time. Lord, we thank you, Father God, for this place. Lord, we thank you, Father God, for your Holy Spirit, Lord, that leads and guides us into all truth. Father, that in all things, Lord, it is you that does the work. Lord, that in all things, Father, it's you, Lord God, that we depend on, Father. There's nothing in and of ourselves, Lord, that we can do or can hope to do, Father, apart from you. And so, Lord, this day, Lord, we acknowledge, Father, our complete and total dependence on you, Father. We acknowledge, Lord God, our complete and total need for you, Father. You are the vine. We are the branches, Lord. We are just connected in you. And, Lord, it is your life that flows through us. It's your water that flows through us, Father. It's your fire that burns in us. Father, it is you. So, Lord, this day, Father, we come to you, Lord God. And, Lord, we invite, Father, this free flow of your Spirit in this place. Lord, we leave every concern, we leave every care, we leave every burden at the side, Father. And we come before you and we ask, Lord God, that you would take control of this time, Father, that you would take full control, Lord, of the word that goes forth. Lord, let it be, Father, what the hearts need to hear, Lord, not what we desire to hear, but what we need to hear. Speak to us by your Spirit, Father, I pray. And Lord, I completely get out of the way right now, and I invite, Lord, the free flow of your Spirit and the full orchestration of what you desire to do in this place. We leave it all on the side, and we go forward in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. How are you this morning? All right. Good. Some people are right. Some people are good. Who is down? Who is depressed? You know, sometimes it seems like they say there must be something wrong with your faith if you have a bad day. Something wrong with your faith if you have a bad day. So we, you know, I have spent a number of years having to unlearn many things that I was taught in churches. I'll clarify this. So we get taught from the time that you are born and you come into this world, you are taught certain things. And not everything, in fact many things that we're taught are not true. Punesh could probably tell you many stories with the medical clinic of how many health remedies people have come up with in their own mind, and they come in and she says, what are you doing to try to fix this? And they say, ah, we're doing this, we're applying this ointment, this bark from some tree or something like that, that she knows medically is not good and not true. You have some of those, Punesh? Yes? Yeah. Because undoubtedly, some uncle, some aunt, some cousin in Nurelia that has access to something, they've told somebody and someone believed it with all their heart, but believed something that wasn't true. Now, what do you do when you encounter truth and what you believed was wrong? What do you do when all of a sudden you are now presented with truth and you find out that what you were believing was a lie?
දැන් මෙහෙම හිතුවොත් අපි මෙච්චර කාල කෙනෙක් යම් දෙයක් ගැන විශ්වාස කරමින් හිටියා සත්‍යයි කියලා හදිසියෙම උහුට දැනගන්න ලැබෙනවා ඒ විශ්වාස කරපු දේ ඇදහිල්ල තිබු දේ බොරුවක් කියලා.
Because that will reveal in part your heart if you are truly a child of God or if you are still part of the world, if your heart is still in the world. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the truth, big T, big capital T, big truth. So one thing that happens with Jesus is that we realize when we have an encounter with Him, oh my goodness, what I was doing was wrong. This is the way. This is the truth. This is life. And when we encounter that way, truth, life, John 14:6, when you encounter Him, what happens is that you take your life and you put it there at the foot of God and you say, God, transform me, make me like this. Do whatever you need to so that I become what you desire me to be. We ask that God transforms us to make us what He wants us to be. Because He is the potter, we are the clay. Jeremiah talks about Him being the potter, we're the clay. So we are clay. And God will shape you, or the world will shape you. The Spirit of God will mold you, or man will mold you. So what now do you do when you find out that what you were believing was not true? You know, a typical human reaction, very typical because it's in our flesh, it's very heavily ingrained. When we encounter something that is different than what we believe, okay. What happens is we go on the defensive. Don't tell me that what I was doing was not right. I know what I'm talking about. I've been using this tree bark to treat headaches for the last 15 years.
Mama මෙච්චර අවුට් ගානක් මම පාවිච්චි කරගෙන හිටියේ අවශ්‍ය නැහැ කියලා අපි විරුද්ධතාවය දක්වනවා.
If I just run up these steps really fast 3 times, the headache goes away.
මම තුන් පාරක් මේ පඩිකල උඩ නැගලා තුන් පාරක් හැද මෙරි ගහම මේ උණු ගැටුම අයින් වෙනවා.
I'm making up medical treatments as I go. Don't do any of these. Okay? No medical backing at all. But what happens is we go on the defensive because of our flesh.
ඇත්තටම සිද්ධ වෙන්නේ අපි මාංශයෙන් ක්‍රියා කරනකොට මාංශය ආකාරයෙන් අපි ඒකට විරුද්ධතාවය දක්වනවා.
And because of our soul, because of the soul mind that's inside a person, the natural mind, the carnal mind, we go on the defensive.
මාංශික හැටියට මාංශික මන විදිහට හිතන මනස අපි නිතරම හැමතිස්සෙම යන්නේ විරුද්ධතාවය දක්වන්න.
And then because of that, we then block ourselves from being able to be open and receptive to maybe God showing you something in a different way. Or maybe God revealing, hey, you're on a wrong track.
ඉතින් ඒකෙන් සිද්ධ වෙන්නේ මොකද්ද දෙවියන් වහන්සේ මොකක් හරි අපිට දෙයක් පෙන්වන්න යනවා නම් දෙවියන් වහන්සේ කියන්න යනවා නම් ඔයා මේ වැරදි මාර්ගයේ ගියේ ඒ ටික පෙන්ව ගන්න අපිට ඒක දැනගන්න බැරි වෙනවා.
Now, one thing is that God does call and beckon His people, His church.
But
He does not call forever. He does not call forever. He does not continually keep His hand out over and over and over again. There is a point where you get to go with your choice. You know, sometimes I think that what happens is okay, here, actually go Matthew 23. I'll show you something really quick. Verse 36 says, "Verily I say unto you, all these shall come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stone those them which are sent unto thee. How often I would have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth, till ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord."
Matthew 23, 37. යෙරුසලම කිකිලි ඇගේ පැටවුන් පියාපත් ජනත එකතු කරගන්නාක් මෙන් නුඹේ දරුවන් එකතු කරගන්නට මම කී වරක් කැමති වුණෙන්ද? එහෙත් නුඹලා කැමති වුණේ නැත. බලව නුඹලාගේ ගෘහය නුඹලාට පාළුකට අත්හරිනු ලැබේ. මක්නිසාද නුඹලාට කියමි. ස්වාමීන් වහන්සේගේ නාමයෙන් එන තැනැත්තා ආශිර්වාද ලද්දේ යයි නුඹලා කියන තෙක් මෙතෙක් පටන් නුඹලා මා දකින්නේ නැතයි කීසේක.
There was a pastor in the States that one time told me, you know, whenever you see Jesus say somebody's name twice, Mary, Mary, or Martha, I'm sorry, Martha, Martha, Peter, Peter, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, it shows something. It shows that one, he has a very deep affection and care for somebody. And also that he's about to give a very stern rebuke. And here, Jesus speaking to Jerusalem. He's speaking to a place. And it's that they missed it. You had an opportunity. You had a chance.
මොහොතක් තිබුණා යාට දීලා තිබුණා.
Truth was here. It was walking in your midst and you missed it.
සත්‍ය තිබුණා ඔගලන් ඉදිරියේ සත්‍ය ඇවිද කියලා ගියා. නමුත් ඔගලන් ඒක අත ඇරියා.
What did they miss it for? What did they exchange truth for?
මොන වෙනුවෙන්ද මේ සත්‍ය ඒකලම අත ඇරියා? මොන උදේ මොනවාද ඒ වෙනුවට මාරු කරගත්තේ? සත්‍ය අත ඇරියා.
Here is Jesus standing in their midst speaking eternal life and words of eternal life. What did they exchange the truth for?
යේසුස් වහන්සේ ඉදිරියට ඇවිල්ලා ජීවනයේ වචනේ ප්‍රකාශ කරා මේ සත්‍ය ඒකලම ඉදිරියට ආවා. ඒකලම ඒක අත ඇරලා ඒ වෙනුවට මොනවද තෝරගත්තේ?
What was more valuable to them in their own hearts that they would trade the eternal truth, eternal life for?
ඒගොල්ලන් ඒගොල්ලන්ගේ හදවත් වලින් මේ සදාකාල ජීවණය වෙනුවට මොකද ඒගොල්ලන් මාරු කරගත්තේ? මොනවද ඒ වෙනුවට ඒගොල්ලන් තෝරගත්තේ?
Anyone? You know the story, you've read the Bible, anyone? What did they trade the truth for?
මොනවද ඒ වෙනුවට ඒගොල්ලන් මේ මාරු කරගත්තේ? සදාකාල ජීවණය වෙනුවට.
Okay, remember the conversation of the Pharisees. This guy, This guy is making things difficult for us. If we don't get rid of him, we might lose our place and our nation. We might lose our position and our place and our resource.
අපි මේගොල්ල මේ මිනිස්යාගෙන් ඉක්මනට මේ අය බේරෙන්න ඕනේ මොකද මේ මිනිස්යා ආවට පස්සේ අපේ තැනු අපේ අපිට ලැබෙන අපේ සලතුරු ඔක්කොම නැති වෙන්න යනවා.
Remember the conversation of the people, the things that they shouted back to him. When Pilate said, "Shall I crucify your king?" What did they shout back?
මතකද පිලාත් කියවම මේ මම යේසුස් වහන්සේව මේ ඇනගසන්නද කියලා මොනවද ඒගොල්ලන් දුන්න උත්තරේ? මොනවා කියලා කෑ ගැහුවේ?
What did they shout back?
මොනවා කියලා කෑ ගැහුවේ?
Yeah. We have no king but Caesar. We have no king but the king that this world has put over us. That is our king. That is what we serve. We will not have this man to rule over us. Remember when Jesus was telling the parables of what this whole thing was like?
සීසරෙන් අපිට වෙන රජ කෙනෙක් නැහැ අපිට සීසර තමයි ඕනේ මේ ලෝකයෙන් අපිට පත් කළා තියෙන රජ සීසර ඒ නිසා මේ මිනිස්සු අපේ ජීවිත පාලනය කරන්න මේ මිනිස්සුන් රජ කෙනෙක් කරගන්න අපිට අවශ්‍ය නැහැ කියලා.
So what did they exchange the truth for?
මොනවද මේ සත්‍ය වෙනුවට ඒගොල්ලෝ මේ මාරු කරගත්තේ?
They exchanged the truth for a lie. Yes. Okay. They exchange the truth for the world. All right. Okay. What did they get down the line as a result of exchanging the truth for that lie?
ඉතින් ඒක නම් අන්තිමට කෙලවරේදී මොනවද ඒකට ලැබුණේ මේ සත්‍ය වෙනුවට මේ බොරුව තෝරා ගැනීම තුල?
Okay, Pharisees saying, if we don't do something about this guy, we're going to lose our place and our position, right? Okay, what happened in 70 AD? Anybody know the history of Jerusalem? Because Jesus gives... 70 AD. No, not 700 AD. 70. Yeah, 70 AD. 70 years. Yeah. 70 years after Jesus Christ, at 70 AD. Yeah, yeah. Okay. 70 AD. The city of Jerusalem was surrounded in a siege. It was surrounded by the armies. And Jesus even prophesied over it, saying, "This is going to happen to you." He talked about when they were in Matthew 24, when they were talking about the temple, and they said, "What an amazing temple." And Jesus said, "You know, a time will come when not one stone will be left on top of another."
එදාසල යසවාසී නෝටකෝ මේ කොනතරම් මිනිසුකෝ කොනතරම් අලංකාර මේ දේව මාලිගාවේ තමයි යසවාසී කිව්වා. කාලයක් එන්න යනවා එක ගලක්වත් ඉතුරු වෙන්න නැ නැති කාලයක් එන්න යනවා කියලා.
It'll be utterly desolate. It'll be utterly destroyed.
විනාශ වෙලා සම්පූර්ණ විනාශ වෙන කාලයක් අතහැරලා දමන ලද කාලයක් ඒ කියලා කිව්වා.
You know what happened during that siege when they set fire to the temple? The gold in the temple melted. And when it melted, it went between the rocks and the bricks and everything like that, the stones of the temple. So when the soldiers came in and they saw where the gold was, they literally took apart every brick to get to the gold. They literally separated every piece.
අර හමුදා වට කරපු අවස්ථාවේ ඒගොල්ලන් මිනි පිටපා ඊට පස්සේ ඒ රත්තරන් මේ රූපයක් දිය වෙන්න අරගත්තා. දිය වෙලා හැම රත්තරන් කොටසක්ම ඒ ගඩොල් වලට ඒක දිය වෙන්න පටන් ගත්තා. ඒ කියන්නේ හැම ගඩොල් කැලටම ඒ රත්තරන් දිය වෙලා ඊට පස්සේ මේ හමුදාවේ අය ඇවිල්ලා ඒ රත්තරන් ගන්න ඕන නිසා ඒ හැම ගඩොල් කැලක්ම
So Jesus speaking, so if you imagine that, you are standing next to Jesus and Jesus says, look, you see this massive building, and Jesus says, at one point, there won't even be a single brick here, a single stone that will be on top of each other in this place. And in your own natural, soulful mind, seeing a massive structure, you say, yeah, sure, whatever. I mean, this guy's exaggerating.
ඉතින් දැන් අපේ මනසින් අපි හිතුවොත් මේ මෙච්චර ලොකු මාලිගාවක් වෙන්න පුළුවන් මේක සැකයනවා
කියලා. Yeah, 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 sure Jesus. Okay, yeah, someday that'll happen.
හරි හරි යසෝසේ සමහර දවස් කවදාරි එක වෙයි කියලා අපි නිකන් එන්නේ කියලා.
No, a time came and a time came very quickly when all of a sudden the fulfillment of these things.
නමුත් දෙගලනේ උනේ ඉතා ඉක්මනින් දවසක් පැමිණියා මේ කිව්ව කාරණාව සිද්ධ වෙච්ච.
And when that was fulfilled, those that had exchanged truth for a lie, what did they receive in exchange for their in what did they get?
ඉතින් මේක සිද්ධ වෙච්ච මොහොතේ අර බොරුව අරගෙන සත්‍ය හරගන්න නැතුව ඒවලට බොරව බාරගත්තු මිනිසුන්ට මොකද සිද්ධ වුනේ මේ වැඩේ වෙනකොට?
Did they keep their position?
ඒගොල්ලෝගේ සත්‍යයන් පැවසුනාද? තියාගන්න පුළුවන් වුණාද?
We don't want Jesus to rule over us because we don't want to lose our position.
අපිට යේසුස් වහන්සේ අපේ ජීවිත පාලනය කරන්න අවශ්‍ය නැහැ. මොකද අපිට ඕනේ අපේ සත්‍යයන් පාලනය කරන්න.
Okay. Did they lose their position?
ඒගොල්ලන්ගේ සත්‍යයන් නැති වුණාද?
Oh, it didn't work, did it? It didn't work.
ඒක එහෙම වුණේ නැහැ. එහෙම ඒක සිද්ධ වුණේ නැහැ මේ ආකාරයට.
They didn't want to lose their control over people. Did it work?
ඒක මෙහෙම වැඩ කරාද? ඒගොල්ලන්ට පුළුවන් වුණාද මිනිස්සුන්ව පාලනය කරන්න මේක නතර කරන්න?
They didn't want to lose their resource. They didn't want to lose their cash cow. Did it work? We have no king but Caesar, right? Okay, what did their king do to them? The one they chose? The Caesar that came there, what did he do to them? They say that that siege, I'm trying to think, I think it was Justinius, a historian that was in the city recording that siege that took place. It was so terrible. Go ahead. And it was so terrible that they actually ended up eating their own children because they didn't have food. So they actually ended up eating their own flesh and their own blood. This was their choice. They chose to eat their own flesh and their own blood in the rejection of truth. They chose in the process of rejecting the way, the truth and the life, another way. This is what they received.
ඉතින් යේසුස් මාර්ගය සත්‍ය ජීවනය තෝරා ගන්නවා වෙනුවට තෝරාගත්තු අනිත් මාර්ගය තුලින් මේ දේ තමයි ඒගොල්ලෝ ලබා ගත්තේ.
I love Sri Lanka. It's always like that, no? Okay. What has changed now to this day that we're living in? Now let's bring it forward. When you go before the Father and when you are in His presence, what now do you see? What now do you, when He reveals your heart? Okay. Anytime we start preaching truth, anytime, many distractions will always come. No, I'm serious. Okay, give me your undivided attention for 30 seconds. I'll tell you something that will help you really quick. The world system that we're living in right now functions as a collective mind. Right? And what happens is that everything it does will work to distract and deter from you keeping a connection with the Father and receiving what He has for you. So you... So you have to make a decision and you have to fight in the spirit to go forward with what God is speaking to you. This past week I've been under so much spiritual just attack, and it's like I'm saying, okay, Father, what is going on? But He's showing me too, that's what the world does. So the first reaction that we should have as a group is we should be praying and saying, God, please remove every distraction, everything, so that we can be in the connection and in the place where You want us to be right now, so that we can receive what You're doing. But how many faces go this way, looking quickly for a distraction? That should be, anytime you're someplace, that should be your first reaction. Okay, so small commercial break, but something for you to remember when you're always praying in your spirit. You're always praying. Scriptures tell us that we're to pray continually. You're to remain in a continuous connection with the Father through Jesus Christ. So at any moment in time, you can appeal to God for the situation that you're in and ask for Him to do something and intervene. Spirit of God will show you what to pray. Okay, so please do that next time. Okay, for me and for anybody else that is with you. Okay, so in the rejection of truth, in the rejection of Jesus, Jesus wept over Jerusalem. He wept over His creation, His people, those that He loved and cared for. I think of parents that I know, and I think of parents that I know who have had children that have gone a certain direction, a certain way. a bad way, a bad choice, a bad direction. And I think of the pain that it has caused to a loving parent, to a parent that really cares about their child, when they see the direction their child has chosen and the heartbreak that it does to them. And Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, talks about how a wise child, a wise son, will bring joy to their father, but it'll bring grief. A foolish one brings grief to the mother. It does. The life and the choices that you make affect more than you. So Jesus weeps over Jerusalem. He weeps over the choice that they have made. But he doesn't weep for himself. He weeps for them. Again, you remember when he goes to the tomb and Lazarus is dead and the whole situation is coming around him? And he feels their pain and he allows himself to be touched with their pain and their suffering, and it brings him to the point where he weeps. Jesus allows himself to be brought into and touched with the deepest infirmity, the deepest pain that we feel in this life.
In our lives.
Versus, who is it that they would have to rule over them? Okay. Did Caesar know about Lazarus' death? Did Caesar know about Lazarus' death? Did he care? Did he care? Yet that is who they would have to rule over them. But that is who they would have to rule over them. Not those specifically Mary and Martha, they were there definitely at the foot of the cross. But how many people that came out to see what had happened were also in that crowd shouting, "Crucify!" How many people that saw the miracles of Jesus, how many people that ate, that were among the 5,000, among the 4,000, among those that were chasing Jesus down every time he came someplace to try to get a miracle from him, how many of those were in the very same crowd that then shouted, "Crucify"? Now, why? Why if, how often do you see or meet a person where the power of God flows through them in such a way that people are healed, people are, hearts are restored, hearts are mended, people are shown there's another way? Why would you want to kill somebody like that? Why is the thought, "Let's get rid of him"? on a natural, logical level, if you sit down in a room and you talk with some friends, of course everybody's like, oh wait, no, why would you get rid of somebody? No, why? Why? Because they did. That was the course of action that they chose. John chapter 3. I'll show you why. God will show us why. John chapter 3. Verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Okay, there you go. The condemnation is that light came into the world and men love darkness. So what happened with Jesus then? Here is light. Here is light presented. Here is truth. And they're drawn to the light, but then as they get closer, it realizes, it exposes their own hearts. When you and I come into, when I came into the presence of God, He revealed to me my own heart. Okay, I'm not going to say when you all the time everybody's preaching about you. No, when I came into the presence of God, when God drew me by His Spirit, when I came into the presence of God, He revealed to me my own heart. He revealed to me the wickedness that was in my own heart. He revealed to me the darkness that was in my own heart. He revealed to me about myself what I was capable of outside of Him. And I had a choice. My choice was, do I choose now to go with the darkness that I know and to leave the light because this light exposes that in me, or do I choose to keep moving with that light and allow the cleansing power of God to go through and make a new person out of this body, out of this mind, out of this soul, out of this spirit? The miracle of the gospel, the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ is that there is a new way, there is another way. Salvation is available in no other name than Jesus Christ. Sins are forgiven in Jesus' name. The blood of Christ is sufficient to wipe away and wash clean of any sin, of anything that's ever happened. But it requires the free will of a person to bow their knee before Him and say, Lord, I will have You rule over me and not Caesar. You are my high priest, no man. It is You that saves, not man. You are truth, not what I know. Now the process of God also revealing them, that's the beginning point where you start down this journey with Him. But in that process, He will now begin to reveal and expose every area of your life. And He will keep digging. And just like the rich young ruler that came before Jesus. You remember him? He came before Jesus and he said, Lord, what must I do to be saved? So he comes to the light. He's like, God, what do I need to do? And Jesus at that time, functioning under the law, because he was going to fulfill all righteousness, but under the law he's giving an answer to this man, and he answers him. He says, okay, thou shalt not kill, honor your father and mother. He goes through a list of these things, and then this guy's response was, I've done all this. It says Jesus loved him. So he kept digging. So Jesus loved him, so he opened another door that this man hoped Jesus would never open. He exposed a part of his life to him that this man hoped Jesus would never ever look at, never touch. Why did Jesus do that? If Jesus wanted this man to follow him, he could have stopped right there and said, great, good job, come get in the back of the line, let's all go together. But truth loved him enough to shine the light in another spot in this life. He said, if you really want to be perfect, if you really want to do this, here's the block to you. Sell what you got, give it to the poor, come follow me. Give up your life, give up your hope and your ambition in this world, and exchange it for true life and what it is that I offer you.
ඒ සදාකාල ජීවනයේ තෝරගන්න ඔයා ඔයාගේ ඔය ඔයාගේ මම ආශාවල් පසුපස ඔයා මේ ලෝකයේ තියෙන ආශාවල් ඒ වගේ දේවල් හැටක කියලා මම ඔයාලට ඉදිරිපත් කරන මේක තෝරගන්න මේ සත්‍ය තෝරගෙන මගේ පස්සේ ඉන්න කියලා කිව්වා.
Come and follow me even though you don't know anything more than the fact that we're going somewhere and I'm not going to tell you anything else except follow me.
මම අනුගමනය කරන්න එතනින් එහාට මම මොනවද කරන්න යන්නේ කොහෙද යන්නේ කියලා දැනගත්ත නැති වුණාට කමක් නැහැ. මාව අනුගමනය කරන්න කියලා කිව්වා.
At this point in time that's the only instruction you get.
මේ මොහොතේ හැටියට මේ උපදෙස විතරමයි ඔයාලට ලැබෙන්න යන්නේ කියලා කිව්වා.
What did he do?
මොකක්ද යා කරේ?
He went away sad. He went away a sad rich man. Rich in the eyes of the world. But bankrupt in the spirit. Rich in the eyes of the world, but in his soul he knew the choice he had made. A rejection of truth will do that to you. And so, in the eyes of the world, you can seem to still have something. But in the core of your being, in the core of your heart, you know. You know when you are by yourself. You know if you look towards the Father and that light shines, you know that you have done that. When my dad spoke recently, one thing he said, honesty, God wants honesty. Honesty in your own heart. He can work with that. Like with Peter. Peter said, God, the best I can do is befriend you. But he said, but at least that's, I'll give you all that I know of myself right now. But that's where I'm at. That's the limitation that I'm in. Excellent. Excellent. Jesus didn't at that time say, Peter, Peter. You've seen all these miracles. I've walked on water. We fed 5,000 together. You've rejected me. And who do you think? He didn't do that. He said, he didn't reject him at that point. He took Peter where he was at, but Peter came to him to the light and said, God, here, this is me. Fine, expose me. You've exposed my heart. You've exposed the limitation of my love for you. You remember before the garden, and they're talking, and Jesus says, you're all going to deny me. You're all going to run away. And Peter's like, no, I'm going to die for you, Jesus, right? And Jesus says, before the cock crows twice, you're going to deny me thrice. And what is the result of that? Peter in the courtyard weeping bitterly because he realized his own heart was exposed before God.
Because
But Jesus, again, the Good Shepherd, comes back to him after the resurrection and says, Peter, do you love me? Do you have an unconditional love for me? Is your love agape? Peter allowed for his heart to be exposed and was honest before God and said, God, the best I got is a philos love. The best I have is a limited love. But I come to you at least with what I got. When you stay in the presence of God, when you continue with Him, let Him expose your heart. The lie that you would trade it for in the world, look at those that have exchanged the truth for a lie. Look at what they got. Look at what they got. Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Jesus said, I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly. John 10:10. The exposure of your heart is good for you. The revelation of who you really are outside of Him is a good thing for you. Do not run from the light. Embrace Him. Embrace Him while you have the chance to. Because there will be a time when you won't have the chance. There will be a time where He won't be calling out to you anymore. So, we're in a very late hour in this situation in the world. And now is not a time for the traditions of man. Now is a time for truth. Now is not a time to surround yourselves with teachers that tell you what you want to hear. Now is the time for you as an individual to connect up with the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Truth, and to receive what the head is speaking to the whole body. You have a role, you have a responsibility, God has purpose for you at this time. You need to make a free will decision, a free will choice, that you will choose truth. That you will not settle for a lie. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Truth. He won't dwell in the presence of lie. Just like the lie will not dwell in the presence of truth. Jesus said because they refuse to love the truth, they get what? A strong delusion. That they might believe, not Jesus, Paul wrote about this. That because they refuse to love the truth, God gives them a strong delusion so that they will believe the lie. And so be damned. And be damned. Yeah, it's... What happened to Jerusalem? They refused to love the truth. They received a strong delusion. Those who were God's children, even during the time in Jerusalem, they, because of the fact that the Spirit of God had already spoken and Jesus had given warning, they weren't there when the time came, when the destruction of Jerusalem happened. God moved them out. They left. They went to some other place. So God spoke to them, instructed them by the Spirit of God. Even like you remember Joseph, God said to him, look, don't go back because Herod is waiting to kill and all of the stuff that he's going to do. He moved him out of there. The Spirit of God speaks to His people. The Spirit of God protects His people. I will give my angels charge over you that you won't strike your foot against a stone, right? The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. What you're looking for is in Christ. But it comes on His terms, it comes His way. And He will have His way. He is the way. He will have His way. So we get to choose if you want His way or not. You will receive that in your life. So we've been taught to pray, Lord, Your kingdom come and Your will be done. So that is my prayer this day, and I pray that that is Your prayer this day. Lord, Your kingdom come and Your will be done. In Jesus' name.
Yes,
amen. Amen.
I'm out of my